The 39 Steps by John Buchan. Level 5. Retold by C.S. Woolley. Narrated by Jules Weekly. Copyright Foxton Books 2018. Chapter 1. The Man Who Died. The Man Who Died. When I came home at 3 o'clock that May afternoon, I was disgusted with life. I had been in England for 3 months, and I was fed up with it. I would have laughed at anyone who had told me that I would feel like this a year ago, but this is how I felt. Richard had a, "You are in the wrong ditch. You'd better climb out," I kept saying to myself. Until 3 months ago, I had been living in South Africa. I had my own house. It wasn't very big, but it was big enough for me. I could get lots of exercise, and I had come up with lots of ways to entertain myself. This was the first time that I had been to Great Britain since I left Scotland when I was 6. I thought England was going to be a place of adventure, where I could spend the rest of my life. The moment I arrived in England, I was disappointed. After a week, I was bored of all the museums in London. It took less than a month for me to get bored of the restaurants, theatres, and the races. I didn't have any friends to go out with, which is probably why I was bored with everything. Lots of people invited me to their houses, but all of them were boring as well. They asked me one or two questions about South Africa, and then all they could talk about was their dull lives. I was invited to meet schoolmasters from New Zealand and editors from Vancouver. That was even worse than going to dinner at dull people's houses. I was 37 years old. I was healthy. I had money. And I spent all my time doing nothing. I was on the verge of packing up and going back to South Africa when something strange happened. I went to the club and read the newspaper. There was an article about Karolides, the Greek premier, in it. From what I had read, I liked him. He seemed to be honest. Germany and Austria hated him. He was apparently the only man that stood between Europe and Armageddon. I thought about going to Albania. It seemed like it would be an interesting place to go. I went home at 6 o'clock and then went out for the evening. It was all very boring. I walked home after going out for dinner and to the theatre. I reached my front door, put the key in the lock, and suddenly noticed that there was a man who was standing next to me. I hadn't seen or heard him coming. So when I noticed that he was there, it made me jump. I recognized him as one of my neighbors. "I'm sorry to bother you, but can I come in for a minute?" he asked. I opened my door and invited him inside. I shut the door behind me. As the door was shut, my neighbor rushed to my back room. After a few moments, he rushed back again. "Is the door locked?" he asked. He looked terribly frightened. "I'm sorry, I know this is strange. You have always looked like a kind man, and I need help," he said to me. "I will listen to what you have to say, but I can't promise I will help," I replied. I was worried about how agitated the man was. "I am from America. I work for a newspaper. I've traveled the world and played about in politics. There is something very dangerous going on. I found out by accident. It was so interesting that I couldn't help but look into it all. Then I found out I was in too deep and wanted to get out of it all. There is a big underground movement that is trying to cause a war to make money out of it," he told me. The more he explained, the more I began to understand what happened in the Balkan War. They think they've got it perfectly planned, but I know just how to stop them. I just need to stay alive for a month to stop them. But at the moment, I am dead," he said. "What do you mean?" I asked. "I'm coming to that. but I need to tell you some other things first. You know who Charylides is? He continued. The man from Greece? I asked him. Germany and Austria are going to kill him. They can't get him in Greece, but he is coming to London on the 15th of June. If the enemy in Germany and Austria come to London, he will never leave London alive, he said seriously. Can't you just tell him so he doesn't come? I asked. No. If he doesn't come, they also win. He needs to come and sort out the mess the government are in. I need to stop them from killing him, he replied. Can't you tell the British government? I asked. They will fill the city with police, but it won't save Charylides. They want everyone in Europe to know he has been murdered by men from overseas. That way everyone will think Germany and Austria are responsible for it. My name is Mr. Scudder, and I am going to have to stop it, he told me. So, why do you need my help? I asked. I liked the man. He was brave, and seemed to have a good head on his shoulders. I saw a man in the street. He was watching this building. I thought I recognized him. He came into the building and spoke to the porter. I went for a walk last night. When I came back, there was a card in the letterbox. It had a name written on it. It was the last name I ever wanted to read. He looked more frightened than he had before. I knew that I was trapped, and I had to die. If the man who was after me thought I was dead, I could sleep easily again, he said. How did you do it? I asked. I disguised myself so that I looked very ill, and I told my servant that I was feeling terrible. Then I got a corpse. It's very easy to get one in London, if you know where to go. I hid it in a trunk. I told my servant I was going to bed and I needed a doctor. He went to fetch the doctor for me. When he was gone, I dressed the corpse up to look like me and I shot him in the face. I left the gun by him, dressed in my emergency suit, and came up to ask you to hide me, he finished. Give me your key so I can see the body. It is a very strange story, but if the body is there, I will believe all of it, I said. I don't have it. I left it on the body. If you wait until my servant comes back, you will know I'm telling the truth, he said. I shall trust you until then. I will lock you in the back room and warn you that I am very handy with a gun, I replied. I watched as he marched around the room. He went and shaved and parted his hair. My word, Mr. Scudder, I said. He looked different and even moved differently. I am not Mr. Scudder. My name is Captain Digby of the 40th Gurkhas. I am presently home on leave. I'll thank you to remember that, sir, he replied sharply. The next morning my servant arrived. Sir, the man at number 15 shot himself. The police are up there now, he said, after I introduced my guest as Captain Digby. I went down to number 15 and found the police were there. Scudder's servant was sat crying in the flat. I asked the inspector what had happened. He shot himself, he said. I went upstairs and agreed to hide Mr. Scudder until he was ready to put his plan into action. He was an easy man to live with. I quite enjoyed having someone to talk to. He kept asking if my servant could be trusted, but all my servant knew was that Scudder was Captain Digby, on leave for a month or so. There was nothing he could tell anyone. He didn't seem to be worried about dying. He seemed more worried about not being successful in his plan. One night, he was very serious. Hannay, I need to ask you something, he said to me. What is it? I asked. I need to tell you everything. If I die, someone needs to carry on this fight for me, he said. Honestly, I wasn't very interested in all his politics, but the adventure seemed much better than the dull life I was leading in London. I didn't think that Charylides and the men trying to kill him were any of my business. He told me lots of things, but I wasn't paying very much attention to what he was saying. I remembered that he had said something about a woman, called Julia Shechemvi. She was a decoy to get Karolides away from his guards. He mentioned something about black stone and a man with a lisp. He said something about a man with a young voice who looked like a hawk. When he mentioned him, Mr. Scudder shuddered. He talked about death a lot, and the way he spoke about his plan made it seem like it was his job to stop it all. I think it must be like going to sleep when you're very tired, and waking up to find that it's a summer's day with blue skies and the scent of hay in the air. I used to thank God for those kind of days, he said. The next day, he was in a much better mood. I went out to dinner with a mining engineer and came back to my flat at 10:30. I was expecting to play chess with Mr. Scudder. I put a cigar in my mouth and went to my smoking room. The lights were all off. I thought it was very odd and wondered if Mr. Scudder had gone to bed already. I turned on the lights and no one was there. I turned to leave the room. As I turned, I saw something out of the corner of my eye that made me break out in a sweat. Mr. Scudder was lying in the corner of the room on his back. There was a long knife through his heart. He was dead.